Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Louis Curtsey, CEO of Kibo Energy. Welcome back, Louis. How's things?
Thank you very much. Nice to be talking to you again.
So today we saw the update on the potential acquisition of Brownhill and the RTO. It seems that after further due diligence, it wasn't meant to be. Do you want to talk us through the rationale behind the termination, please?
Well, I mean, we've always made it very clear that this transaction is part of a greater initiative that's going on in the company, and that we are busy with total repositioning of the company, as is evident from all our RNSs lately. And this was one additional string that we wanted to add to our bow in terms of renewable energy. We did a proper due diligence. After the due diligence, we came to the conclusion that there's still quite a bit of additional work to be done before the project will be at the level we can do the deal as we announced it. We then made a counter proposal, which is more in line with the current status of the project. That proposal we could not agree upon, and we came to the conclusion after careful consideration that the deal is no longer in the interest of the company, and particularly if we also take into consideration all the momentum that we've been building up over the past 2 months that we've been suspended. I can only refer you to the most recent announcement with regard to long duration energy storage and a few others. So all things considered, and given what we saw in the due diligence, we decided it's better to go forward without doing this transaction.
Sure, and as you say, there's been significant other news released since the suspension. So let's not dwell on this today's news and look towards the exciting news released a couple of weeks ago, which obviously saw Kibo signing a strategic 5-year framework agreement to deploy at least 1 gigawatt of long duration energy storage in Southern Africa. Do you want to tell us more about this exciting progress?
Yes, indeed. And as you say, I mean, this is the fact that all of these other things are happening made it easy to take a very objective decision in terms of the transaction that we're no longer continuing with. And this transaction in particular, to work on installing on a pipeline of around about 1 gigawatt long duration storage is quite a big project. That's in its own right, sort of as a life-changing event. So it was quite significant that we were able to negotiate the transaction that we did with CellQ. And most notably, the fact that the arrangements that we've announced in that announcement, which sets us on a course to take the lead in the areas where we have where we will be working with CellCube in terms of being sort of almost the first to market in those areas on significant and sizable long-duration energy storage projects. And it couldn't have come at a better time. As you know, specifically in South Africa at the moment, the situation is dire in terms of energy. So it's come at exactly the right time for us to get going with this.
Louis, so some of these projects that are in South Africa with CellCube, who or what type of companies or situations can you see these being deployed in?
Oh, I mean, as is evident from the RNS as well, there are so many. Everybody is suffering from the energy situation at the moment. For example, shopping centers who have to cope with even right stage 4 load shedding, with 2-hour power outage almost every 8 hours. So 4 times in the 12 and for 24-hour cycle. So 8 hours out of the 24 hours you don't have power. Shopping centers, manufacturing facilities, cell phone operators with the cell phone towers. And I can just carry on and on. In the pharmaceutical industry, for example, it's a massive problem. If you have an interruption right when you're in the middle of a production line that's running, you have to stop and start over again.
Yeah, and would it be something that would even be useful in the mining sectors and stuff, or is that just me? The power to the mines.
As I've said, anybody who uses electricity.
You've got that project, and obviously we've got the waste to energy scenario that's going on in South Africa also, I believe. So tell us a little bit more about that one.
Yeah, well, our project that we're doing in South Africa, the waste to energy project, is for an industrial park. And we are now have advanced that project to the point where we're now working our way towards financial close. We hope to see financial close a little bit later in this year, and then we will be able to commence with construction on that project. It's developing very well at the moment, and we are already looking at expanding that beyond the initial 2.7 megawatt. We've had some very encouraging discussions on that lately. And again, it's driven by the instability or the insecurity in terms of electricity supply. So that project is well underway and well on schedule at the moment.
So I know right now you're about to board a plane back to South Africa. I think we will talk about many of these different things in more detail next week or in the future anyway. From the point of view of the shareholders now, basically what we're looking at is no dilution. The shares have gone back on the market this morning and business as usual. And let's get on with making this one of the prominent green resources in terms of the stock market. One of the things that maybe we haven't got time but want to talk about is the coal projects that we have the opportunity to maybe even turn these coal projects into green projects. So can you give us just a comment on that one?
Oh, yeah. That's something that we're very excited about. We've been working in the background. As you know, we've made an announcement a while back to say that we are walking away from the fossil fuels and we're not going to touch them going forward, and that we are either going to dispose of these projects or find a new developer or see if we can possibly convert them into renewable or clean energy projects. And while we were progressing and pursuing the opportunities from a disposal perspective, we were also looking at new technologies and a novel application of existing technologies. And we think we've stumbled across one on which we've spent quite a bit of time in recent months that is suitable for this and that has all the potential to become a substitute fuel for the coal, and that we can then use to further develop these projects as green or renewable or clean energy projects. There's still quite a bit of work that we need to do on this. Still quite a bit of testing work that we need to do. But what we're really encouraged about is the fact that from a technical perspective, we are very comfortable that it's working. We still need to do a little bit more work on the costing side to see how that stacks up. And we're very excited about the promise that this holds to get these projects back online.
Okay, very good. I think we're going to let you go because you've got to get on the plane, and we will speak to you next week, Louis.
Thanks, yeah. Thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for the discussion.
Thanks very much, Louis.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.